Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, so very blessed to be back here with you today, though for safety purposes without my co-host Rhonda Branham. We're just going to be taking some extra precaution during this time, and we hope and pray that both of us will be able to be back in the studio here together soon. Thanks so much for joining us in this glorious octave of Easter. Well, Christ is risen. Indeed, he is truly risen. And we have to remember this because for so many of us, it still feels like Good Friday. We're still in isolation from one another, still going without the sacraments and unable to attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Many are feeling the economic pinch caused by the pandemic, and some are even enduring great physical and emotional sufferings right now. But we know that God is permitting all of this for our own purification and sanctification and to help obtain the necessary graces needed for the salvation of souls. Our good God allows evil solely for the purpose of bringing about a greater good. So if we can keep this in mind, Christ's joy and peace will be ours even amidst these trying times. Please know that you are in our prayers and that we are so very grateful for yours in return. Okay, so there's been a lot going on since Rhonda and I were back with you last, which I think was the weekend of March 27th. And while our own calendars and the world around us seem to have come to a grinding halt, the abortion industry has not. In fact, abortion facilities are busier than ever, as the demons seem to hint at the idea that their time of dominion here on earth is coming to an end. They are stirred up, trying to cause as much trouble and do as much damage as they can before they are sent back by our Lord and His Most Holy Mother into the eternal abyss from whence they came. And even though great challenges loom before us, it is imperative that we not leave the battlefield, but that we continue to fight the good fight in whatever way we can. In fact, we need to up it, especially in our prayers, sacrifices, and penances. We're going to talk about some very unsettling things that have occurred over these past couple of weeks while we've been away and encourage you to not give up, but to continue to pray and offer up every bit of suffering that you are enduring in order that souls might be converted and a culture of life and purity be built up for the glory of God. So with all that said, let's begin in prayer. Our risen Lord Jesus Christ, you comfort your people by telling us in John's Gospel, chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Our Lord Jesus Christ, you also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You came into this world to destroy the works of the devil, which are lies and murder. You overcame these evil works precisely by being truth and life. Lord, make us a people who thirst for your truth and cling to your life. Help us during this glorious Easter season to continue to pray and offer up sacrifices for the good of our brothers and sisters who are ensnared in a culture of death and impurity. Help us to keep our eyes on the resurrection, knowing that one day, if we remain faithful in the way, we will be admitted into that glorious paradise where we will be immersed in you, who are truth and life. Amen. Now, normally at this time, we'd go right into our little in the news segment, but today's show is going to be comprised almost entirely of news, so we won't do that today. There's been a lot going on, that's for sure, and I want to first start off by giving a little update on what's been going on there at 421 South College Avenue at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood over the past few weeks since the coronavirus fiasco began. We've been trying to stay out there, offering help to the women going in, but more recently, we felt it best to pull back back quite a bit because of Governor Holcomb's stay-at-home order and for the safety of sidewalk advocates and prayer partners. We sought legal advice and also tried to clarify with state officials about whether or not we could even be out there on the sidewalks. Well, the bottom line is that we were told that we can remain out there, but we have to closely follow all CDC guidelines and especially not congregate. A large part of our philosophy as sidewalk advocates is to honor and work with the authorities that God has placed over us. And we want to be above reproach in this regard and to obey all reasonable requests. So we made the decision to just be present only on Thursdays, which is abortion day. We've been limiting the number of people out there at any given time. We stopped passing out material to the women, and we also are trying to wear masks. Basically, we're just out there right now to pray and observe and to call out to the women as they go in, just letting them know we're out there because we love them, that we're praying for them, and that we know they're probably feeling very scared right now, but that there is hope available and help right next door at the Women's Care Center. That's about all we can do right now. And you know, even the Women's Care Center itself has had to pull back from its ministry for the protection of all of their clients and the wonderful women that work there. So these are obviously very challenging times for the pro-life movement as we're trying to figure out how best to help save lives and souls. And in a minute here, I'm going to talk about how in some other states, authorities are trying to clamp down on pro-life efforts, seemingly violating the civil rights of pro-lifers. But getting back to the Bloomington Planned Parenthood and the business it's been doing there, since January of this year, we've seen a significant rise in the number of women going in to have abortions. At this point, there have been about 300 unborn children killed there so far this year. And we saw it get very busy as the coronavirus scare picked up. Now, I think many people are tempted to believe that since most of the U.S. is nearly in shutdown mode, that the same must hold true for abortion businesses. Well, unfortunately, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the picture that is emerging at this time is a very dark one. You might recall that in the last show that Rhonda and I did, we talked a lot about how fear seemed to be driving every action in response to this virus. Well, this is especially true when it comes to women who find themselves pregnant right now. And let me give you some examples of what I mean that come from an article published just this past Monday by the Associated Press. The write-up describes how the demand for abortion is surging nationwide because of the heightened stress caused by the pandemic. The article starts off by saying how women are distraught over economic worries and health concerns. They quote a manager of several abortion clinics who says that they are getting frantic calls from women because they're scared and they want an abortion. Abortion centers are also seeing women travel hundreds of miles in order to kill their unborn children. An abortionist in Chicago was quoted in the article about how she saw one teenage girl drive all the way from Texas with her mother to get an abortion. It also mentioned how most abortion centers are seeing a significant increase in abortion numbers over last year. As an example, there's a clinic in Wichita, Kansas, where it reported that the facility performed 252 abortions in March, up from 90 in March of 2019. Now, that's nearly triple the number from last year. And abortion industry workers are predicting that the demand for abortions will only continue to increase. One abortionist from Michigan said, "I hear it in my patients' voices and questions daily. They are worried about how they will make their rent, feed their family, and access a ventilator if need arises." The article then goes on to quote a New York City Planned Parenthood officer who says that the abortion giant is working on expanding telemedicine abortions. The Planned Parenthood official bragged about how they had provided a medication abortion to an EMT while she was sitting in her ambulance. "We also provided abortion care to a mother who was at home with her children running around behind her," she went on to say. Another abortion doctor from New York said that she had one patient who had really wanted to be pregnant, but was now afraid because her medical condition would require multiple hospital visits, and she felt that this was just not safe because of the pandemic. So this mother opted to have her unborn child killed because of her fear. And another provider, this one from Illinois, described how in her facility, they would normally see about half of the women who have scheduled an abortion ultimately not go through with it. But during this pandemic, that rate has dropped to only 15% who end up changing their minds and not going through with the abortion. In other words, women don't seem to be struggling as much with their decision to abort. The same provider also described how she saw a couple who had planned to become pregnant end up killing their unborn child because of the wife's fear of being exposed to the virus when it would come time for her to give birth in a hospital. So the fear factor is huge here. And finally, the article also promoted at-home abortions by purchasing abortion-causing drugs over the internet and then taking them at home without any medical oversight. And that seems like reckless journalism to me right there. Well, this AP article clearly shows how fear is driving abortion numbers skyward. And another very sorrowful thing in all of this is how many women who would otherwise not consider having an abortion are actually being driven by this kind of demonic-like anxiety to kill their own flesh and blood. We've got a lot of panic abortions going on, and so there's a lot of reparation that needs to be done. So I really want to encourage you to offer up your sufferings, your loneliness, your frustrations, your little hidden penances for the conversion of these frightened souls. And let's remember, too, that this Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday, so maybe we can at least offer up a chaplet of Divine Mercy, imploring for supernatural intervention in this mess that we find ourselves in, and for the graces that every woman who is with child needs so that she can say and mean, "Jesus, I trust in you." Okay, so I want to highlight how Planned Parenthood is becoming very aggressive right now in its expansion of telemedicine services, including abortion. The AP article briefly mentioned that, but an April 14th article in Time magazine dedicated an entire piece to this subject. Planned Parenthood's goal is to have telemedicine services available to all 50 states by the end of this month, which they say will protect their workers and clients and reduce spread of the coronavirus. They have a telehealth app where clients can access services including testing and treatment for STIs, contraception, hormone therapy, and yes, even abortion. Now, a couple of things here in regards to telemedicine and abortion. The FDA requires that the abortion pill be distributed in person. So a woman could do her initial counseling virtually, but she would still have to visit a Planned Parenthood office to pick up the pill. Secondly, some states like Indiana currently do not permit chemical abortions, especially the counseling part, to be done via telemedicine. But you can bet your bottom dollar that Planned Parenthood is at work behind the scenes in those states to try to get that changed. In the Time article, a medical director for one of their New York affiliates spoke this bit of propaganda in favor of their telemedicine campaign. She said, "Sexual reproductive health care, especially pregnancy-related care, especially prenatal care and abortion care, are essential, time-sensitive, life-affirming services. I'm so happy that we were able to launch our services so efficiently and so quickly to meet the needs of the community so that they can stay safe but still access the care that they need." So pray much for the conversion of all those who work at Planned Parenthood. It truly is an organization that is doing grave harm in so many ways, especially as it concerns the eternal destiny of souls. And not to mention that the profit margin for these telemedicine services is sky high. Planned Parenthood's profit is soaring at the cost of lost innocence and innocent lives. Frankly, the COVID-19 pandemic has been a boon for them and for all the other abortion businesses as well. Okay, so going back to news right here in Indiana, nearly 3 weeks ago, we saw Governor Eric Holcomb issue an executive order for our state that called upon healthcare providers to cancel or postpone all elective surgeries and invasive procedures so that personal protective equipment, and you've probably heard that referred to as PPE, and other vital resources could be funneled to those medical personnel who are working to combat the COVID-19 epidemic. And in his order, Governor Holcomb did judge abortion to be in that non-essential category. However, to avoid any legal challenges, he stated that an abortion could be permitted in the case where the life of the mother was in jeopardy, or where there could be permanent physical damage to the woman if the pregnancy was allowed to continue. He also stated that the abortion doctor would be the one to make this judgment. And of course, that's kind of like the fox guarding the hen house there. On the whole, though, this was welcomed news. However, based on observations throughout the state made by sidewalk advocates over these past couple of weeks, it most certainly appears that Planned Parenthood and other abortion centers here in Indiana are not following the governor's orders. Data is being collected and sent to state officials to let them know that all Indiana abortion centers clearly appear to be defying the governor's order. Along with this, Indiana Right to Life helped put together a letter to the governor that was signed by over 70 doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals right here in the state, urging Governor Holcomb to close down the abortion centers in the state for the health and safety of Hoosiers. So this just gives you an idea of what kind of activity and efforts are being currently done to try to combat the attacks against unborn lives and also against the health and safety of the mothers that continue unabated during this outbreak. There are many working behind the scenes doing what they can to bring light to how the abortion industry has no qualms about defying authority. We're praying that God will make use of these efforts to help end abortion. And really, our government leaders, there's really only so much that they can do. Their hands are tied in so many ways. So what we really need is a change of hearts, as exemplified by that AP article that I just went through moments ago. The fact is, there's a huge demand for abortion. So hearts simply must be converted. Now, I also want to quickly bring up the irony of those who consider abortion as an essential procedure and who say that abortion centers need to remain open during the pandemic. Well, let's talk about the word choice here, because we've had that connection between abortion and choice seared into our collective conscience for years now. But what does choice by its very nature imply? It means it's an option. It's elective. Therefore, it's non-essential. And now supporters of abortion would have us believe that the ending of a human life within the womb is essential, and that's why abortion centers must remain open. Well, it's absolutely not. The vast majority of abortions that take place are not for medical reasons. Abortion does not treat a disease. They're done for purely elective purposes, for purely social reasons. And this needs to be clearly pointed out. So let's keep praying for our government leaders that they'll be given much courage and wisdom during this challenging time. So even as abortion centers throughout the state and country continue to flout these civil orders, some pro-lifers who are showing up to abortion facilities to reach out to the women going in are being targeted by local authorities for violating stay-at-home orders. Now, you may have heard about the arrest of David Benham and his son earlier this month on April 4th. David was a former professional baseball player, and he's also known for a reality HGTV show that he did with his brother a few years ago. David is a nationally known figure. He's a committed Christian, and he's a strong advocate for the right to life. Well, in recent months, David started a pro-life sidewalk counseling program, and he's been doing a lot of good work in front of an abortion center there in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, on Saturday morning, April 4th, David was at home, and he received a phone call from one of three sidewalk counselors who were out there at the abortion center in Charlotte, letting him know that about 15 police officers had just shown up, telling them that they needed to leave or else face arrest. So David hopped in his car and got there as soon as he could. The three counselors, by the way, had been following the CDC guidelines. David showed up and started talking to the police, saying that they had a right to be there, that they were practicing social distancing, and that what they were doing was essential because the abortion center was open, and they needed to be there offering life-giving help to the mothers. David would not budge and insisted that the sidewalk counselors were well within their constitutional rights to be there. He refused to leave, and that's when the police made the arrest. David recalls how he was just filled with such emotion that he almost started weeping. And he said this, "I was just hit with such emotion that I can't believe my country is doing this. I can't believe we've gotten to this point where we're going to use a national healthcare emergency to grab onto unlimited power of the government and steal constitutional rights from pro-life Christians." So David ended up being booked and jailed and released 4 hours later, but not before he saw his 20-year-old son come in with handcuffs too. Their court date is set for June 2nd. Now, there's another interesting bit of information that David also provided. He said that the city has, for years, been after pro-lifers who have stationed themselves outside of the abortion center there. He insists that this was their golden opportunity for a power grab, and he noted how a Charlotte City Councilwoman had, in a recent tweet, asked police to shut down pro-life activity there back in March. And this is far from being the only incident of authorities trying to shut down pro-life ministry work in front of abortion centers. Christian law firms are saying that they are receiving a record number of phone calls from pro-life advocates who are being threatened with arrest and prosecution simply for being out during the pandemic, even though they are respecting all public health rules. And it's not just pro-lifers who are having problems. We're also seeing this infringement on religious freedom as well. And here I want to mention some very disturbing actions and comments being made by the pro-abortion governor of the neighboring state of Kentucky, Governor Andy Beshear. Governor Beshear, and who he's actually a deacon in a Protestant church, he warned Catholic residents on Good Friday that if they attended church services in person on Easter Sunday, that they would be forced to self-quarantine for 14 days. The governor announced that he would direct police officers to obtain the license plate numbers of such worshipers and that this information would be turned into the local health departments, whose personnel would then force the offenders into isolation. Now, the governor was obviously concerned for the health and safety of Kentuckians, and he was no doubt frustrated by citizens who were refusing to comply with his stay-at-home order. But listen to the words that he used to try and explain his decision on why he felt the need to crack down on those who wanted to attend religious services on Easter Sunday. He said, "I hear people say, it's my choice. Well, it's not the person next to you's choice. This is the only way we can ensure that your decision doesn't kill somebody else, that your decision doesn't spread the coronavirus in your county and in your community." And yet, Governor Beshear permits the Louisville Abortion Center to remain open so that a woman can exercise her choice. He sees nothing wrong with a woman making a decision that will kill somebody else, in fact, her very own child. This is the level of cognitive dissonance that we have reached in our country now. So it's now being reported that some Kentucky Easter Sunday churchgoers have already begun receiving letters from county health departments per the governor's orders. By the way, one targeted Baptist church that had held services on Easter Sunday said that there were a small number of people inside and they were seated more than 6 feet apart with others staying outside in their vehicles. Now here's part of that letter that was sent to these worshipers from Governor Beshear. "You are receiving this letter because your vehicle was documented to have been parked where a mass gathering was held on Sunday, April 12th. COVID-19 is spread throughout the community and transmitted person to person through respiratory droplets. Attending a mass gathering of more than 10 people increases your risk of COVID-19 exposure. If you and/or someone in your household attended the above gathering, following the guidance from the Kentucky Department for Public Health, you are advised to restrict movement to home while self-monitoring with public health supervision for 14 days from attending the mass gathering." The letter goes on then to require that recipients sign a document agreeing to take their temperatures every day at the same time and report each day to the Board of County Health Department, to not attend work, school, or shopping centers, church, or any public place, to not travel outside the county, to not travel outside of Kentucky without prior approval, and to not travel by public, commercial, or emergency conveyance, such as a bus, taxi, airplane, train, or boat. Now, this is so unsettling to me, because every week I personally witness women traveling all the way to Bloomington from Kentucky, and some of them twice in the same week for pre-counseling to get an abortion here. These women walk into the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, where there are more than 10 people gathered in confined airspace to obtain non-essential services, with no doubt lots of respiratory droplets streaming through the air. And they're in there normally for at least 2 hours. How in the world does this governor think that it's more dangerous for people to be gathered for church services than it is for women to come pouring in across state and county lines, gathered in a waiting room, waiting to have their unborn children killed? Governor Beshear is clearly targeting the religious freedom of his people, and this is what it's coming to in America. Many of our leaders have no difficulty seeing a right to have an abortion in our Constitution, even though it's not even expressly written there. And yet they cannot see what is so clearly written there, the right to freedom of religion. I don't know if you've caught this or not, but there was an actor out of Hollywood, of all places, but thanks be to God, Kevin Sorbo, who tweeted something insightful and yet painfully accurate on Holy Thursday. He said, "In a nation where liquor stores, marijuana dispensaries, and abortion clinics are deemed essential by government bureaucrats during the coronavirus outbreak, and church attendance is judged non-essential, we don't have to study long to diagnose the morbid condition of America." That sums it all up right there. Well, the clock is winding down, and I haven't even gotten through most of what I wanted to get through today. There is so much going on, so much to report about and to ask you to lift up in your prayers. And I know I've given you a lot of bad news today, but the English theologian Thomas Fuller said that it is always darkest right before the dawn. Our Lady will come forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array. We can take this to the bank. So we just need to persevere in our prayers and sufferings and encourage one another, because that moment for her miraculous intervention on the face of the earth and the triumph of her immaculate heart is coming. Okay, so one more quick story here. This past Good Friday, the governor of Virginia, and you've heard us mention him several times before on prior shows, signed into law an abortion bill that banned every pro-life regulation in that state, allowing women to more easily kill their unborn children up to the moment of birth without any interference whatsoever. Again, that was on Good Friday, amidst the coronavirus pandemic, as if there was nothing better to do. Virginia's Catholic bishops did issue a strong statement following Northam's signing of this so-called Reproductive Health Protection Act, and it read, "We are deeply saddened and disappointed by his signature of this legislation, that he would take this action on Good Friday, one of the most solemn days for Christians, is a particular affront to all who profess the gospel of life." Now, here's the funny thing about this. That act first passed the State House and then the Senate on January 29th, more than 11 weeks before the governor signed it. So the timing here is odd. But I really believe our Lord is trying to show us something, and that is how closely related are the deaths of these little innocent ones in the womb to his own. Now, that's not the only thing Governor Northam did on Good Friday. He also signed into law a bill that prohibits all public places or businesses from denying the use of restrooms, locker rooms, or dressing rooms to transgenders. In effect, the new law makes it possible for adult biological males to use ladies' restrooms and dressing rooms, and vice versa. Not content with the killing of the bodies of unborn children, Virginia lawmakers are now trying to kill the souls of those children who make it out of the womb alive. Heavenly Father, for the sake of your Son's sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. I'm out of time. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next week, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.